The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.
Well, is that it? Oh, here we go. Episode number one, track one, season one, anthology number one, first episode ever. Be worth a lot as an NFT, this, mate. Bloody hell. Is that what they're called? Anyway, welcome. It's the Seymour Mace Podcast. It's like a podcast, but I put E on the end of the words parting cast because there's too many podcasts, so this is a podcast. But essentially, it's the same, but with two E's, so like it'll be up all night. Ha 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 ha. Reference there for the 90s drug takers. Not 90-year-olds, but if you are 90, then get into it. Any 90-year-olds, listen, I recommend getting into drugs, especially the mind-altering ones.
Do you think that's the best time to get involved in drugs?
Well, any time's a good time for drugs, and that's our first endorsement from illegal drug sales across the world. They're paying us a lot of money to have the endorsement on the show. Any time is a good time for drugs. Not legal ones, obviously. That was the voice of Lee. Oh, Lehman Kyle. It's real. Lee is short for Lehman.
It is. And it also has an E on the end. Just to be fancier. Lehman Kyle also has an E, but that is just pronounced Kyle.
Kyle, not Kylie, because I'm a man you of would the get people. It mixed up with girls.
Girls' names.
And this is the show, and it's about half an hour. We're going to do 30 minutes. I'm going to time it.
I'm only the guest, by the way. It's not like mine and his show. I'm just
A co-host. But I've got, what they call it? I've got like co-hosts that come and go, like...
Like to have a rotating cast, aren't you?
Rotating co-host, right. That's it. And I don't mean they sit there spinning around in the chair. No, there'll be different co-hosts because most people have got jobs and lives and responsibilities, the kinds of things that I have eschewed throughout my life so that I had the time to do this when I was 55.
It's good though because your life is somewhat, depending on how construed by either the viewer or yourself, it is kind of equal amount success and failure, isn't it?
Fail cess.
Like you've had a
succular.
You've had an
succular,
interesting
that's quite
life.
Good. Suck failure, success and failure, succular.
No, that's good. You've had an interesting life, but in a successful life, but by the standards you've set for yourself.
Yeah, it's been terrible.
But like by people who like want like money and stuff.
Yeah,
probably like safe or a safe living.
Yeah,
not so much. But creative endeavors, wife. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've done stuff, but you do miss out on, you do sometimes ponder on having that kind of, because nobody sets out to be a maverick. You think, I want to be a maverick. I want to fucking not conform. I want to, because I just imagined that I would grow up, probably meet someone, I might get married, probably have children. That, you know, I follow that kind of route. And when that doesn't happen, there's a part of you thinks, wow, you feel like you've missed out. But you haven't necessarily, because other people look at your life and see the amount of freedom you've got and kind of envy that. But it does wind me up a bit when you see cunts who have children and they're all over the fucking place. Like, because I've had kids, it's almost like rubbing it in your face, isn't it? Which to me is just the same as if you've got yourself a fucking gold Lamborghini and you start driving it around every cunt's house, fucking revving the engine outside. When I look out the window, you're going, check out my fucking gold Lambo. Fucking gold Lambo that you can't afford. You know the one that you can't get because you're not fucking capable. Well, I'm just fucking off to go put on Facebook about how much I fucking love it. Cunts.
And I'd like to say well done to my son, Kia, for his pay rise recently at work.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He'll be earning more than you soon, mate. Then who'll be in charge there, mate?
He already is.
That's the danger of having kids.
Cooked.
Eh? Nobody's fucking ousting me from the nest, mate, eh?
The big man, you're always the big man on campus.
You know, fucking Games of Thrones in my fucking house.
Sorry, what I did there is I did what I want to do. Forget about the fun. And I asked a personal question, which isn't... I forgot, I'm not Stuart Goldsmith, am I?
Yeah, so, no, you're not Stuart Goldsmith. Far from it, mate.
Far from it.
But that's a good logo for a T-shirt. Forget about the fun.
I'm just...
Forget about the fun. Get miserable.
So shall we do the fun?
Yeah, hey. Like, I used to collect comics when I was a kid, and superhero comics. And I've got all these ones called DC Who's Who, which are like a dictionary of DC from 1985, the original set came out. So it's every DC hero, villain, headquarters that had existed prior to then. And some of them are fucking shit. The villains mainly, because you need more villains than heroes, because logically Batman's in every episode of Batman, but you need a different villain every fucking comic, so you get some really
so
shit
ones.
You
get like a really poor quality of villain kind
of
the time.
Yeah, just a bloke with a dog kind of thing. Bloke with a dog, man.
Because you're not always going to get belt, as I
say. Some names you can see that it's towards the end of the day and they've gone, he's really fat. Should we just call him Fat Man? Yeah, right.
What's this bloke do? Right. He can control string fairly well.
Yeah, string controller. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, where did I get that from? Yeah. And there was a brilliant comic as well, which I have copies of, which I haven't got today, but I'll bring another day, called Dial H for Hero. And the concept behind that was it was two precocious children who were dicks, to be fair. But they had these like watches on, and if they dialed the name of a hero and the watch had letters like a telephone, like an old school telephone dial, and they could dial this H-E-R-O and become a random hero. And the heroes were all suggested by readers of the comic. So if you were a reader, you could send in your drawing of your like fucking bees up his arse, man, and they would get a proper artist to, you know, render that in the comics, and Bees Up His Own Arse Man would be a feature of one of the comics.
Do you remember who won?
I can't remember.
Did you enter?
I think I entered with Toilet Duck, but they couldn't use that for copyright reasons. But it was class, because some of them heroes were great and some of them were fucking bizarre, because they were just random kids going, I'm bloke with a leaf and an elephant's trunk and two arms on his head. Bang, there you go.
What they should have done is, because they were clearly running out of bad guys, as we know, right? They should have systematically every week used one of those ideas just till they got to the end.
If an idea came in where they thought, fucking hell, this is good, it probably didn't get in Dial H Hero, but it probably got ripped off. The one hero I know from Dial H Hero, the one hero that was suggested that did make it into the main canon of the DC universe
was
Plastic Man.
Okay, so I am not, I don't want to say I'm an ignoramus, right?
Well, a lot of people have said it, so why not?
A lot of that people say it.
They do.
I mustn't boast. But I am not massively au fait with anyone other than your very famous superheroes. What is Plastic Man?
Do you know Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four?
Mr. Fantastic.
Do you know what he does?
He's brilliant.
He's stretchy. The Invincibles, you know the woman out of that? The cartoon, that the Invincibles? The Pixar cartoon.
The Red Lady.
Yeah. Well, basically the same as that.
Oh. Okay.
So any stretch, there's a few stretch-based superheroes. Mr. Fantastic was the first, so he called himself what he likes.
Like Dalzim out of Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, there you go, Dalzim. Most of the other ones call themselves, so there's Plastic Man and Elongated Man, because Plastic Man had gone. Elongated Man.
There's not an Elongated Man.
There is an Elongated Man. And him and Plastic Man know each other.
Oh.
And
do they get on?
Not really. Elongated Man's a bit up himself. And Plastic Man's like an idiot, so...
That makes sense. Elongated Man would be up himself because he's given himself an overly pretentious name. You would think, I'm not Plastic, I'm just Elongated.
And Plastic Man's a lot more popular than Elongated Man.
Would be,
Man
wouldn't he,
well,
with that attitude?
So, yeah, yeah.
Can Plastic I ask you
Man's
a question,
like cartoon
Seymour?
Show and stuff like that.
Can I ask you a question about superheroes? That is something I've been thinking about for a while. It goes on to what constitutes a superhero, I suppose, but it's a question I noticed when my son, who I've got because of how great I am, was very young. One of his favourite shows was Brum.
About a car that
now,
talks.
Is Brum a superhero? He's going around,
well,
he's solving problems, he
more
can
like
talk,
Christine,
he's got powers.
Isn't it? More like a horror figure.
No, because he's a good lad, he's Brum.
But it's a car, cars.
Can cars be superheroes?
Not, well... I suppose in terms of the fact they can talk, you would say is a superpower in terms of being a car. And
I can't remember if Brum can talk now.
Oh no, it just goes like,
he
smokes
about
fucking 60 a day, doesn't he? That sounds
like,
doesn't it?
You know, he saves
days.
He's
a hero, but he's not super then. Fireman's a hero, but he's not a superhero.
What would make a fireman, if he was fireman?
If he could fly,
if he was like
made
out
of fire. But then you wouldn't want him at a fire, would you? There would be no use at a fire. A bloke made out of fire, you wouldn't go, oh, there's a fire. Quick, get that bloke made out of fire.
Yeah.
You would want the bloke made out of water at the fire.
Right, yeah.
Send the bloke made out of fire to the bloody, dunno, somewhere that needs a fire.
It's tragic fireman's life, isn't it? Because he'd be getting rang by that. He's like, I'm no use to you.
No use to you.
And then, like, the
toddlers
have
fireman,
died.
They need you down the fucking scouts campsite.
All right. Just, bring Woggle Boy.
That's it. He'd just sit in the middle and all sit round him, wouldn't they? Sing Ging Gang Gooly.
Oh, it's no life for a superhero. What is then, out of the ones you know, the most pointless and pathetic superhero that doesn't bring a lot to the table in terms of powers?
Well, there's a whole, in the Who's Who, there's a whole group called the Legion of Substitute Heroes, who were superheroes who tried to get into the Legion of Superheroes but weren't good enough.
That's genuinely interesting, okay.
So the Legion of Substitute Heroes was set up. So like Colour Boy, who can just do different colours, make different colours, shine out of his hands. I think the Chlorophyll Kid is something like something to do with plants but nothing good. But they're all in the Who's Who.
That's very enjoyable to me.
78 million episodes.
So I don't know if this resonates with anybody, but when I was young, I was always a big stickler for if I was doing a thing, everything had to be involved.
Right.
So if I set out my He-Man figures, they all had to be set out. I wasn't interested in playing with them. I wanted them set out. But as did the ones with broken arms and things snapped. I didn't want anyone missed out.
Right.
So I would never I would always have a problem with, say, you know, like a cartoon or if they'd done a remake of, say, Robin Hood, and they missed out Alan and Dale or something.
Right,
well, they've not done this right. They should have everyone involved. So I'm glad that there is these ones, a place for the losers to go.
Oh,
you know, the loser superheroes.
Yeah, well, it was when you're a kid, you kind of think, well, I could be in with them.
Yeah, I've got...
They're all shit like me. Brilliant.
Like, I haven't got a power, but I'm no more useless than they are.
Nah.
Yeah. Shall we break into the...
Yeah, let's...
To the Who's Who.
Episode 1, Who's Who, March 1985 came out, 45p in the UK, the definitive director of the DC Universe Volume 9. Now, I must say, I've checked out online and there is another podcast that is doing this and has been for a while, so well done, lads. Kudos to you. I'm sure you're more knowledgeable than I am about this, but, you know, there's room for fucking two podcasts about this.
Don't worry about it.
And this is a poll. Podcast anyway,
it's
so
different,
it's a completely different thing.
Maybe we could do something. I don't want to do anything with them. Like, I don't know them, but like,
no,
it's awkward
we don't want
enough
to,
talking
we don't
to
want
someone
to communicate,
you know,
with other people. We will have other co-hosts, or like we're talking about rotating co-hosts. There will be other people coming on,
but the show you know, and that's
this
important.
This podcast is going to be organic, so over time, things will happen.
Yeah,
and if they're funny, they might happen again, and if they're not, they'll definitely happen again.
It might end up about anything in the end. It might not be anything to do with comics soon enough.
We might not even be in it. Probably get bought up by Hollywood. Probably get bought up by like Ryan Reynolds and that bloke out of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And they'll take over. But in a nice way.
But till then, comics.
So this is a bit threadbare on the cover there. But apart from that, it's mint. Apart from that, it's mint.
Mint.
So it's just a dictionary of every DC superhero that existed before March 1985. And we're just going to go through them all.
Is this one the first... Is the one you've got here, is that...
That's the first episode.
Excellent.
First issue, not episode. Sorry, I'm lost in streaming land.
I don't know these superhero terms.
The first issue or the first volume, volume one, although it's a fucking small volume.
Is that Aquaman on the front?
That is Aquaman.
Oh, I recognise him.
Starts with an A, see?
Yeah.
DC Aquaman. The fronts are quite nice.
You get the B.
For any comics aficionados who remember this, the fronts were all like wrapped around and different artists would try and... So all the characters that appear in each volume are illustrated on the front cover, all interacting with each other, which means you
I can see at least three of them with a big letter A on.
Him there, yeah.
Do you know who he is? Oh, well, don't spoil it.
I do know who he is. And this guy here, this isn't working for people who are listening, is
no,
it?
But it's not all about
and
them.
And that guy over there.
It's not all about... there's a guy...
Oh, there's a guy there, yeah, as well. I know who he is as
can
well.
Can I give my thoughts on some of these as someone with from a position of ignorance?
So I'll describe it for the people at home. There's a guy in a light brown, kind of beigey one piece, very skin tight, muscular fellow, black gloves and boots, and a kind of black cowl bit that kind of covers the top of his shoulders and his head, but leaves his nose and his mouth out. He's also got like beige goggles that kind of match his outfit and a big shock of blonde hair poking out the top. And also, very pertinently, next to him is a bird in the air. So, and he's got an A on his chest. Who do you think that might be, Lee?
He's got a bird. He's got blonde hair. He's muscular, so that's got an 80s vibe. They love muscles in the 80s.
Oh,
that was in.
You big into muscles.
Hulk Hogan. The others.
Exactly.
I think he's called Aeronaut.
No.
He's got a bird. Is the bird his mate?
Yeah, okay. But it's maybe a more general, you know, the bird is part of a maybe larger group.
Oh,
of, yeah. For example, he might have like a tiger running along next to him.
Animal Man.
Animal Man. That's
is that
him.
What he's called?
He is called Animal Man. So one so far, three.
I didn't notice the names on the side, but I made a point of not looking. I didn't look.
Well, the other two are on the back, so you won't have a chance to look. So okay, well done with Animal Man. Next one. I'll describe it for the people at home. It's probably a late teens, possibly early 20s boy. He has a red t-shirt with kind of a square cut neck, long sleeved, again, very, very tight fitting. He's got blue gloves with kind of a white and black banding around him. Blue kind of trunks, but very high trunks, almost like budgie smugglers. Looks a little bit like a nappy, blue nappy, and a black belt with a big golden letter A as the buckle of the belt. And he's got blue boots on that matches blue gloves. Mm. And he appears to be swimming underwater. And he's got a fucking proper 1980s perm. And there he is. Any ideas who he might be?
He's a real Keegan, isn't he? So he's underwater, but we know he's not Aquaman.
He's not Aquaman. He's not Aquaman, no.
He's got an A on his belt.
Yeah.
He is... The sort of trousery short things seem very He-Man in them, the way they're cut.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say he's like around that early 80s.
Okay. Again.
He's in water. Begins with A.
Yeah.
It's not Aquaman.
Nah.
Aquarium.
He's called Aquarium.
I forgot is the name of an aquarium. I was going to say Aquarius. Then I thought if I put up on the end, you'll sound more gladiatorial.
Yeah.
But there is another meaning of the word aquarium. Yeah. Yes, I think his superpower is he can fit loads of fish in himself.
Yeah.
But they die if the saline solution's not correct.
He's not Aquaman, but he probably knows
him. Aquaboy.
You're getting in the right area now.
Aqualad.
Aqualad.
Is it?
Him, Aqualad. There he is, aye. Because lad was a much more popular term in like the 50s, 60s when he came out. There was a lot more lads. There was Matter Eater Lad.
Is that actually one?
That is Matt eat a lad. We will come.
Because I think of lad as a sort of English term, so I'm quite.
No,
I didn't realise it was.
Quite a lot of lads. Back in the day, like, not these days, all fucking doctors and captains these days.
It's just another way they're keeping the working class out, isn't it?
So, you well, done, exactly. Class, you don't get fucking.
You wouldn't get a fucking orphan now, would you? Being friends.
A bin man would be a villain, wouldn't it? Be a villain, bin man would be.
Bin man's not bad.
Yeah, bin man. Right, you do a 2 for 2 on the people with A on their clothing, on the cover. This is the most difficult one, the final one. Okay, I'll just describe for the audience.
I can't believe out with aquarium.
This guy, big guy, black dude, loads of, like, really lots of clothes, this guy, not much skin showing, just kind of his arms, he's got, but even then he's got, like, yellow and black bands around his wrists. He's got a full body suit with, like, a tunic-style top fastened over to one side. He's also got, like, proper massive, like, shoulder kind of pads on that with epaulets connected to them, a massive gold fucking collar, a big green, like, face covering thing, but his hair's poking out the top, a huge green cape, green underpants, a yellow and black belt with a big orb for a buckle, yellow tights, they must be that tight, and green, big green boots, but, like, folded over the top, like a pirate's boots. And that's him not many clues with this one, like there were with the other two. Obviously, except for the fact that it must be given with an A.
Yeah, it's definitely an A. I can see he looks hard.
He is right, pretty
he's
hard.
He's had a fight in his day. Now, I'm going to try to ask this in the... Is his ethnicity relevant?
This has got nothing to do with the name, no.
Because I thought he might be from the 70s and he's specifically like a blaxploitation style superhero or something. But no, he's not that, okay?
He's not Afro Man.
I wasn't going to say that. although, actually, now I think he is. But,
but I'll give you a little clue. Okay. Well, probably quite early on in the kind of naming superheroes, where a lot of superheroes... You know, like Superman, Mr. Fantastic.
So you could just...
There wasn't a huge amount
you
of...
You don't have to go delve deeper
into it. Okay. You know, so it was like...
So you can go with just something that you would use...
Like Spider-Man.
Before you had
Batman,
to go into...
Piece of piss. Whereas...
Awesome Man. Amazing Man.
Amazing Man. Yes. Bang. There he is. Amazing Man. And you can see he's got the confidence. You have to have confidence to call yourself Amazing Man, don't you?
Do you know when Amazing Man came out?
I can have a check. Let me just look him up. Page 11. I don't know if it has the date. It tells you when it first appeared. Amazing Man. Alter ego, Will Everett. Occupation, assembly line worker. So he is working class after all.
He could be called Assemblor.
Marital status. So it's interesting to have marital status in single of all this, because that used to concern me quite a lot when I was a kid.
Like, if they kind of get
what if his wife's worried about him? known relatives, Jake, Lula May, father and mother. Group affiliations, part of the All-Star Squadron.
All
right. Base of operations, New York City. First appearance, All-Star Squadron number 23. But... usefully, it doesn't have a date, but that'd be sometime in the 60s, maybe.
That
probably get in touch with the guys who do the other podcast, and they'll tell us.
Yeah, what's their podcast called? You know,
it's called the Definitive Director of the DC Universe.
Sounds rubbish, that.
Stupid, isn't it?
Why don't they have a title that has nothing to suggest what's in it? That's what you should do, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, and then you're not bound by that, isn't it? They can't turn it one day and go, let's just talk about fucking chocolate.
Yeah, what if they're like, you know what, actually I prefer Roy the Rovers, and they start talking about Blackie Gray or something, no one's going to be fucking interested, are they?
Or as I call him, Roy O the Rovers. Even got a pronunciation glossary, but that didn't stick around for many volumes. I think it's only in the first one, and then they got knee cunts bothered about how you pronounce Abel.
Why would the... Which one of them's are particularly difficult?
Abnegazar, Wrath and Ghast.
That is fair enough, actually. Yeah, maybe they should have kept it around. Or maybe it became easier after A.
Aegeus.
Do they have one of these for every letter of the alphabet?
Sorry?
Do they have one of these for every letter of the alphabet?
Well, they just work through the alphabet. I think it's 20, maybe 23 volumes, and okay. They go all the way from
it. Yeah, I suppose A-T. It would be insane. You're going to have more Z. T's and S's than yeah. X's. Or X would be common.
And even at the end, they still, after the Z's have finished, then they put a few that they forgot about as well. Sorry.
Or numbers.
Or a few that have become popular while this was being printed.
So how long, do you know how long the run of these lasted?
Well, there's 23 of these, and then there was an update, 87, which came out in 1987, which was 5 comics, which obviously updated. And then, although I didn't buy this because I was a grown-up by then, there was an update, 89 as well, where that was the final.
If somebody has that...
But I haven't got update.
If somebody 89. Has that, can get in touch with us and can you send it to Seymour, please? Might as well.
Yeah, I'll probably enjoy it more than you because I've never read it.
Yeah, we will send you...
And we'll include it in the show.
If you send that to Seymour, what have we got hanging around
here? We will send you we've a got a copy jam of, donut with
we've got
apple
a copy of Simon Donald's
jam.
Book. You can have that. Yeah, no, we'll send you the donut,
yeah,
it's better.
Yeah, the donut, you wouldn't want the book. That'll go off.
Yeah. It's not vegan.
How long? Oh, look, bloody hell, already 24 minutes down, right? Now, we've got to get at least the first character in this Who's
That's
Who
really fair,
to
isn't
say
it?
That we've done the thing that we were going to do. The first character...
Oh, they didn't do enough... Shut up, that other podcast.
First character, Abel. A-B-E-L.
Oh, he looks like the devil.
Right. And he famously the brother of...
Kane.
That's correct.
The Undertaker.
And if you've recently watched, if you recently watched the Netflix version of The Sandman, Abel is one of the characters featured in one of the episodes of that about a baby dragging him and his brother Cain. And they just fucking... Abel was actually invented to... I think him and Cain, they used to... Because sometimes comics, especially horror comics, might have a host. So we'd have a
like
horror comic called
like
the House of Strange or something, and Cain or Abel would introduce.
Okay.
There'd be 3 stories within the comic, and these would introduce them. So him and Abel were part of that.
He's particularly features in like horror comics.
Yeah, House of Secrets was the first comic that he was in, and he's the caretaker of the House of Secrets. Full name unknown, occupation caretaker, marital status single. A lot of single, these superheroes.
What's that busy?
Something going on there. Known relatives, Cain, brother, and Eve is his cousin.
Something
sounds a bit more.
It's not as straightforward and undodgy as the Bible version.
No group affiliation. Base of operations, the House of Secrets, somewhere in the Kentucky Hills.
Yeah.
And height 5'7", weight 306 pounds.
Ooh, that's a big lad for that.
He is a big fella. Eyes blue, hair black. A devout coward. There you go.
I'm a devout coward.
Do you want to describe him?
It's a harrowing image, I'll be honest. At first, I thought he had devil horns, but that's just the way his hair is spiked. Yeah. I don't know if they are spiked into that form on purpose.
That's certainly what I got.
He's certainly got that sort of
demonic
kind of vibe. He's got a big face, which at first I thought had a scar on it, but I think it's just a bit of shading. He's got a big fat face. He does look scared. He's got a lot of beard, so I think as much as he's gonna quite a neat beard actually, not an unkempt one, but as much as he's scared, I think he would also scare other people. He's wearing quite an expensive suit. Yeah, with a waistcoat and a pocket watch, I think. I can see the line from that corner. He's got a handkerchief and a red flower that is on his lapel. Now, it is a blue suit, but I do notice a lot of times in printing in these days, they would use a lot of red and blue, so I don't know if the character would sell out a blue suit or whether that's just how it's represented here. He is a big lad with nice, smart shoes on. A cowardly gait. He's got a book that says Who's Who, and around him there's a devil sort of pulling at his, a little devil pulling at his back, and there's harrowing scenes behind him. We're talking a haunted house with a big moon, and what appears to be Skeletor and behind him. And a girl, I don't know if it's a girl, but it looks like the kind of, it is a creature, it looks like those sort of terrifying white-faced Japanese young girls you would see in horror movies from the late 90s, and a load of bats.
Yeah, well described. Thanks. Nice, yeah. And yeah, endorse all that. So,
So what's his game?
Holding a quill, isn't he? He's holding a quill, isn't he? So he's obviously doing something, writing in that book, and he's probably writing like people who are going to die or something.
Oh, that makes sense.
Originally built by a mysterious senator, Sandfield, as a home for himself and his wife, the House of Secrets has something bizarre history. Most bizarre history. Constructing the building entirely from materials made in Kentucky, Sandfield swore that no one but a purebred Kentuckian would ever live there. When his wife went insane in one of the house's upper rooms, Sandfield sold the building, but the next four owners, none of whom were pure Kentucky stock, fled the house within 3 months' time. When the house's next owner attempted to have the house moved across the state line, the house apparently rebelled, tearing itself free from the trailer and forcing its new owner over a cliff before finally coming to rest beside a cemetery less than 200 yards from the state line. £500 per calendar month, all bills included. Please inquire. Now,
Hang on.
What?
So the person who invented this, what they got against... I feel like someone from Kentucky's wronged them, and they've went, right.
No, he's saying you have to be from Kentucky to live there. If you're not from Kentucky, you're fucked.
No, I get that, but like...
And the house wants to stay in Kentucky. People keep trying to get the house to move out of Kentucky, and it's like...
They want to move the actual house out of Kentucky?
Yeah, that's what they tried to do, and the house wasn't having it.
Why is he not called House Stay Man?
Well, because he already existed. He'd been going a few years, House Stay Man.
All right, aye, sorry, yeah.
The only other building in the area is the House of Mystery, which is just across the cemetery, curated by his brother, Kane. So, there's lots of, mad core. House of Secrets or House of Mystery, Lee? Where would you rather spend your time?
Thank you for asking. I think I would prefer House of Mystery. Because I feel you can solve a mystery. You know, that gives you something to play with.
So
a secret. It might just be like, you might leave and go in and tell us. I don't know anything more than when I went in there.
What if the mystery was that you were actually in the House of Secrets?
All along.
Bang! And that's the end of episode one of the Seymour Mace podcast.
Yeah.
Many thanks to Lee, Kyle, very capable co-host.
Sorry that I don't know anything about superheroes.
Sorry, you don't have to. You just have to be able to talk.
Yeah.
So if you could figure that out for next time.
So anyway, everyone, get yourself along to patreon.com/feltnout, where you would got this earlier, and you're going to get an extra bit of bonus content you'll only get there.
Yeah,
we might talk
about dogs' willies. So if that's your kind of thing,
we are going to talk about dogs' willies.
Okay, dogs' willies.
And you don't know this, but we're going to do it in a few seconds. But you like, there will be a cut, so this will be it for you.
You can listen to it in private. Bye. See you next time.
That was a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.